Welcome to
Ray and Kay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Kay Today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Ray,
and they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football, college basketball.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the show. You are listening to Ray and Tay Today. I am Tay, Eric Taylor. Hopefully, Tal Raisai will join us soon. He's traveling overseas, so we're trying to do the international show for you, which is fitting because we are previewing the NBA draft. This is our NBA draft preview show. We love it. It's fun. Give us a call. Join in on the line. Let's talk NBA, 718-664-9098. Of course, we'll end, you know, the end of the show with a little bit of World Cup, as the big game is tomorrow, USA, Germany, before the draft gets going tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on ESPN. Cannot wait for that. Kind of hyped up. The question is really out there, and you guys can call in, could this be the best draft since 03, 96, 84? Could it be the best NBA draft ever? Excuse me. Woo. Gotta let it out. And you know what? These guys could air it all out. You've got a lot of talent in this draft that potentially could be game changers. You know, you could be looking at 9 All-Stars, or, you know, maybe you could be looking at, like in 84, 4 or 5 Hall of Famers. If Embiid, who had the foot injury that was like Jordan's, which I was not aware of, if he, you know, gets it together, Wiggins develops what he needs to, Parker keeps in shape, Randall, Noah Vonleh, Marcus Smart, Gordon, I mean, Exum. You're talking potentially 7 or 8 right there, all-stars, potentially Hall of Famers. I mean, we don't know that Gordon can't be like a Karl Malone or Derek Coleman or one of these great power forwards. So, I mean, there's just a lot of speculation, a lot to get into. Obviously, with the free agency stuff, which we'll, you know, dive into some more, you've got LeBron James opting out, Carmelo Anthony opting out, and of course the big fundamentals, the best power forward ever, Tim Duncan, he opts in, $10.3 million, steady Eddie. Got to see what happens with, you know, their backup point guard, Patty Mills. But, you know, the rumors, will LeBron and Kobe go play, you know, LeBron and Melo go play with Kobe in L.A.? Will LeBron go to Houston or Chicago? Will Melo go to Houston or Chicago? Will somebody come to New York? Can Miami just bring Melo down? Can they get trade Cole and maybe get Shabazz Napier? I mean, all these things are on the table, and it's great to discuss, great to debate, because we'll find out more tomorrow. We'll be back on the 30th to review the draft and get you ready. Obviously, Wade and Bosch will have to opt in on the 30th, so we'll be ready for free agency, which starts the 1st. And if everybody's sort of official, I think it's July 11th. In terms of signing and really, you know, confirming what's happening and what's going on. So, you know, this is, let's clap it up, baby. This is what it's all about. This is what we get ready for. Hopefully Ray will be joining us soon, but let's jump in to Tay's mock NBA lottery. And I think what's fascinating is obviously in the first round, you got teams like the Knicks and Nets, and we'll talk about them. They don't even have draft picks. But in the first round, you've got some teams like the Sixers, the Jazz, the Magic, Celtics, Suns, Hornets, Bulls, OKC, with multiple draft picks. So there's a lot of teams that don't have first round picks. But then you've got Philly's got 7 picks at all. Phoenix has got 4. The Spurs have got 3. You know, Milwaukee's got 3. So there's some teams that can really improve themselves. And I think this could be, without question, we don't know the star power maybe of how the ceiling is for these guys. But we do know with this draft, this could be one of the deepest drafts ever. Because this draft, I mean, DeAndre Daniels, UConn, he's projected as a 2nd-round pick. You know, he's a champion. Napier could be out of the lottery in the 20s. champion twice. You know, James Young could be late lottery or in the 20s from Kentucky. I mean, there's the talent just goes on and on. C.J. Fair from Syracuse, James Michael McAdoo from North Carolina. These are quality players, some of them four-year guys, who are not going to be, you know, could be second-round picks. Obviously, we know a young guy from Baylor's got the heart and nerve condition. Isaiah Austin, he will not be drafted. That's really sad. But let's go forward with the lottery. The number one pick, I think it should probably be Embiid, but with the injury, I don't think Cleveland will touch it. The Cleveland Cavaliers will select Jabari Parker from Duke. I just think it's the way for them to go. He can already come in and score 18 to 20 a game, you know, as a freshman. He does got to stay in shape, get his body together, get that together and popping. But I think, you know, he's got the potential to really do something amazing, Jabari Parker. Some say, and he compares himself maybe to Melo and Paul Pierce. He's a very, very professional scorer, young man. You got to step up if you want to get to that. But it's possible. It's possible. Number two, the Milwaukee Bucks. Well, for me, I say they go with Wiggins. You know, I mean, they could shock you and easily, you know, they don't want to roll a Brandon Knight. They could take Exum. But for me, I've got them going with Andrew Wiggins. Superior athlete, mother of the Olympians, father Mitchell Wiggins, played Rockets and Bulls, Canadian kid. He's got to get the handle together, but his wingspan, his, you know, his vertical jump, all these different things, all the measurables, the kid has potential to be a beast. He's just got to get the fire and the drive from within. We'll see how that goes. The number three pick, your Philadelphia 76ers. This takes you back to Dr. J. Barkley with seven picks. You've got to believe Philly's going to make some trades. But I think with having two lottery picks, 3 and 10, I think they take the risk and don't let this kid fall. And maybe he's, you know, a bad back and the foot, maybe both of those can heal. They said there's no real structural damage with the back. And maybe Joel Embiid is the perfect, you know, him at the five, Noel at the four. They're going to block all types of shots, Michael Carter Williams. And they just got to get a 2 and a 3, which they can get in this draft, and maybe keep Thaddeus Young at the 3. The Sixers could get good really fast in the next 2-3 years. So I believe Joel Embiid will go 3 to the Philadelphia 76ers. At number 4, this is where the draft gets interesting. The Orlando Magic. Last year, Oladipo, you know, Jameer Nelson's getting older at the point. Never really been maybe what people thought he would be. The question is, do they go with the young 19-year-old Australian point guard, Dante Exum? And I think they do. I think, you know, you could take Randall, you could take Gordon, Noah Vonleh, but I believe Exum could have that Penny Hardaway it factor that they missed out on with Penny, you know, being injured and not having a full career. Everybody hasn't seen him, obviously, at the Nike Hoop Summit. This guy tore it up, 17 under, 19 under. You know, YouTube videos. I think the Magic could have a gem in their hands and could have Exum and Oladipo moving forward in their backcourt as just two guards. Either one could help play point or whatever. And Exum's got some strong athletic ability. At number 5. This is where it's going to be interesting because they've got a couple of picks in the first round. The Utah Jazz, decent squad, good roster. Maybe Trey Burke is on the upswing. They might move favors. There's rumors about trades with him. We'll talk about trade rumors through the show. I think they'll probably keep the pick, and I think they'll take the kid from Indiana. He's got the crazy wingspan, can rebound his butt off, shot 48% from the three-point line. Noah Vonleh, ladies and gentlemen, from the University of Indiana, I think is going to be the number 5 pick of the Utah Jazz. Lots of talent, lots of potential, definitely on the upswing and the upside. And fans, I think, in Utah, they'll be, you know, Cantor's pretty good. they'll be happy moving forward with a versatile roster. And, you know, who knows? Maybe Vonleh could be a Karl Malone. When we saw Karl Malone coming out of Louisiana Tech, people didn't know that he was going to be the mailman and delivering like that. So you just don't know. And I think that's what's fascinating about a draft like this. There is a lot of opportunity for guys to grow and become stars. Now, all you Celtic fans, bring it in. Listen close. You probably should trade Rondo to get you more value. I don't think he's going to stay after next year unless he signs the long-term deal. Maybe you can use him to get a Kevin Love and bring over Rubio. Who knows what you could do, but I think the Celtics at number six are going to draft Marcus Smart, who at 6'3 and a half, you know, 220 or so, great body, had his incident. I think he's a great kid. Everybody loves him. I think, obviously, he could have been a top three pick last year. But Marcus Smart, I think, has, you know, I'm not saying Russell Westbrook, but he's strong, he's athletic, and can wind up being a bully point guard in the league and an all-star. Got to work on the jumper, though. As Ray would say, he's got to be able to hit that 15 to 20-footer consistently. He's got to get that jumper or else they'll sag off him. I think where he will earn his hay, just like Wiggins at first, is on the defensive end. You know, he's a solid defender. So I think that's going to be where we see Marcus Smart really tearing it up. And then for you Laker fans at number seven, oh, man, my son, my 14-year-old, will be happy to hear this. He's been waiting and is waiting for this draft. Number seven, the Los Angeles Lakers will have a gift in their hands. And they have choices and options, but I think they'll take Julius Randle from Kentucky. I think this kid, you know, he's healthy. Don't worry about his foot. I think he's a double-double rookie year. I mean, he can score. He's got all left hand. He's got to work on the right. Got to be able to hit more 15, 18 footers probably, but, and, you know, work on the pick and roll. But he comes in as a man. He can rebound. He is physical. I think he'll be able to score, get his shot off. I think he'll be a solid power forward. Put him in for, you know, a double-double for 10 years. And I think the Lakers need that right now. I think Gasol's probably going to be leaving. You can see him in Detroit. You can see him in Memphis. I think it's time to move on from Gasol. I think to keep him, the Lakers would have to pay him more, and it's just not worth it. And I think Julius Randle will be a nice fit, nice power forward for the Los Angeles Lakers. And, you know, they're going to be busy trade night. They might not keep this pick. There might be some moves and some deals and trying to move Nash in the seventh pick or, you know, do this and that. Who knows? And imagine if Embiid fell down to the Lakers at seven. You know they would snatch him. Number eight, this team is frustrating. Lots of talent. Ben McLemore, Isaiah Thomas, DeMarcus Cousins. The Sacramento Kings, with Shaq being a minority owner, they have got to get it right. I got to knock this out the park, and I think in order to do that, you got to take a chance. And if you're going to have Cousins play the five, which I guess in this day and age in the NBA, it's better for him to do. He's so big, he's not even really a four. I think you draft Aaron Gordon. You know, at the combine, he tested as the best overall athlete. I think the kid is a beast from Arizona. He's got a lot of potential. He doesn't have an offensive game so much right now. So you're going to have to see, you know, he's going to have to really develop. But eventually, you know, he'll be really, really nice and do a good job, I think. So I think we might have a caller here before we get to the next pick. Let me see what we got here. Caller, you're on the air with Ray and Tay today talking NBA draft. Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Lorraine Tay?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going? You ready to talk NBA draft? What's your thoughts?
Yeah. I just caught in right now, the last seventh pick. I didn't hear your first six. I was trying to fix my tablet. It wouldn't let me stream you guys, so I had to call you through my Skype. I totally agree. I think they do. I think you're right. The Lakers do go Julius Randle, and the Kings do need to take a chance on Aaron Gordon. I'm from Arizona, so I watched Aaron Gordon all his career. So I'm with you on that. I think you hit him right on the head. He's got offensive deficiencies, but the defense is there, and he's an all around great kid, and he'll do something in this league. But I think you do have to take a chance on him and try to mold him into something you can need, especially, you know, you think Shaq's a minority owner. If he shows more interest in that team, as in getting into the locker room and talking to these kids and trying to show them how to play this game, I think that could be something that could help Gordon out a lot, Gordon and Cousins. But
and really could fit in well with McLemore potentially keeping Isaiah Thomas, even though sometimes teams don't like the smaller point guard. Sacramento could be on the upswing. To catch you up, I had to go with just the fact of what Cleveland might need now and maybe not having the potential to wait for Wiggins. I went Parker 1, Wiggins 2. I figured with the Sixers having two picks, they'll take the chance at Embiid at 3. I think the foot injury turns out, the foot injury that he has, it's the one that Jordan had his second year. And obviously we know what happened with Jordan after that, and the back is not anything structural. So I don't think Embiid will fall past 3 or 4. I got the Magic taking a shot at Exum, and Exum and Oladipo together could be very dangerous and nice in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And then I have Vonleh 5 with Utah, and I got the Celtics taking Marcus Smart because you could either pair him with Rondo, or it might be time, if Rondo doesn't resign, you got to trade Rondo, maybe get Kevin Love, maybe try to get Durant. You got to,
yep.
You know, Danny Ainge is a good GM, and I think Marcus Smart could be a very tough, almost Russell Westbrook-type point guard in the NBA. So that's where I was with the sort of the lottery. Who's your favorite team? Are you a Suns fan or?
Yeah, I'm a Suns fan. I love the Suns. I've been a Suns fan since they walked off the court in, I think it was 95. Or 90 when they lost to the Bulls, I became a Suns fan. I think it was 93.
Oh yeah, the Barkley. Yeah,
Barkley. Yeah, KJ. I was a big fan of them, and you know, I mean, I go through a lot of turmoil because we do really good one year and then trade everyone. But you know, the only thing I have gripe with the NBA, and I love my team, and you know, I like the whole system they have with the draft, but I just hate the fact that the last team. They tank most of the season just so they can get that first pick. I don't think that's fair to the teams that are, you know, in the West or even in the East, 8 and 9 seed. Like, they're trying their hardest to get in the playoffs. They should be able to get a higher pick than the mid-round. That's my opinion. But I do agree.
You bring up a good point. And let me, what's your name again, Paula? I'm sorry.
Oh, my name's Mike. Skype says not, though, but it's Mike.
Yeah, no, you're right, because – It is a situation, and, you know, I don't know what they could do about it, but, you know, the Phoenix Suns had such a great season. Same with Minnesota, and in the East, they would have been in the playoffs. And, you know, some people talk about a global playoffs and not doing conferences or whatever. But let me tell you, one thing I like about Phoenix, I have at 14 them getting Doug McDermott, and I think later on they could probably get Jordan Adams. And, you know, obviously having 4 picks, 3 first-rounders, the Suns are going to improve. The question is, would you like to see them not add more youth and possibly trade one of their, you know, commodities with a pick or two to get you a better veteran?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard too much of the Love situation in Phoenix, but as soon as I heard he wanted out, I thought, we have 3 first-round draft picks. I don't see anything more lucrative than that. With a player, you know, maybe 1 pick or possibly 2 and a player for Love. That was the one name that stuck out. I mean, the Melo LeBron thing. I mean, those are amazing names. Nobody would deny you don't want those on your team. But realistically, I have to think in as a realist here, we're not going to get either of those players. So I figured and I thought maybe we would package a deal
maybe with a third party to get Love and move our pieces around. Because I think Kevin Love with our team would just be it would be really, really good for Phoenix. It'd be good for the Suns, and it'd be good for this town, because we need some winners in some sport. I mean, I'm not a Cardinals fan, but it's kind of hard living in Phoenix with all these sports around here not doing so well. So
no,
I just
definitely.
Think that,
and the Cardinals might be on the upswing. You know, they've got a shot this year, but their division's too rough. But how about this? I throw this out there. What if maybe they package Eric Bledsoe, one of the Morris brothers, and one of their first-round picks, and take Kevin Love? I don't know if Minnesota would do it, but that's what you might have to throw out there, you know? As much as I love Bledsoe and Dragic, I love those two together.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that scares me, is that we'd have to give something like a Morris brother up or a Bledsoe up to get him. And that's why I think the Suns won't make that move, because they're working so well together, and it's just going up from here, that I think you're right. It would take a Bledsoe, Morris, and a pick to get Love, but I just assuming, and from what I hear, the Suns don't want to give that much up, especially since everyone seems to be clicking on the right cylinder right now, and Bledsoe should be coming back healthy. I just don't think the Suns want to do something like that. It's not in their nature. I don't recall them ever making a blockbuster trade like that. So I don't think it's in their nature either, as well as a front office. But I would take something like a Bledsoe Morris to get Love here. And like you said, I love Bledsoe and Gorin together. So I don't think the Suns want to ruin anything they have that they're setting up now. Because I think you're right. The youth, I think they're just trying to do the Spurs thing, which is hard to say to do. But I think they're just trying to build from within. And I don't see them making any blockbuster trades in the near future at all, like trying to get anyone, maybe dumping some people, but I don't see them trying to make that big name leap and get somebody like Love. I would love it. I mean, it would be awesome for my team. But
let me ask you this before I let you go. Where does LeBron go? Does he stay in Miami? Does he go to Houston, Chicago? What do you think LeBron does?
This may sound weird and it may sound outlandish, but I have a feeling that Carmelo Anthony goes to Chicago and LeBron James ends up in New York with Phil Jackson.
Wow.
Yeah, I put too much into, because I know there's money and family and where you live and who you're playing for and all the tangible things you can grab a hold on and stuff like that, but I don't think it's a big coincidence that both of these gentlemen, LeBron and Melo, opted out within 2 days of each other or a day of each other. And I think it's a big indication that Bosch and Wade haven't opted out yet. And I think that's the bigger key here, that those two haven't opted out or opted in. So I believe LeBron's out of Miami. Whether it's New York or wherever, I don't think he plays in Miami again.
You think he'd go to New York over Cleveland? New York doesn't have a great roster.
No, I don't. No, they don't. They don't have a better roster than Cleveland. But I think the attraction of Phil, people may say Cleveland wants him and this and that, but I don't think LeBron forgets Dan Gilbert.
That was pretty ugly. That was pretty bad.
The things he said, we're going to win one before him, we don't need him. I think that will be the key to why LeBron doesn't go to Cleveland. It won't be the players, it won't be the town, it won't be the fans, it'll be Dan Gilbert. And I just not, like...
That's a great point.
Dan Gilbert was such a LeBron guy before he left, and to be able, and LeBron seeing his true colors flip a 180 the minute he said, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. I mean, I think that sways LeBron away from Cleveland more than anything else. And you know, you hear about basketball players, they listen more. They're more of a thin-skinned type of player. Not saying that they can't take shots or whatever, but
we've really never seen it in sports, an owner sort of lash out like that, because this is something that's collectively bargained. Free agency is legal, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, this is, So I think you bring up a good point there. And don't sleep on the fact that maybe the Lakers have a miracle, because, you know, those guys are all chummy. And I'm not a Laker fan, but those guys are all chummy from the Olympics. And I think Kobe and Melo and LeBron, they would love to play with each other. So that's possible.
And to watch with the Lakers, it all comes down to the draft. If the
Nash in the seventh pick, then you know something's up their sleeves.
You know they're getting both of them, and that's a scary thought to me.
Yeah,
It would be blasphemous for me to say, but I probably wouldn't watch any NBA next year. It would be literally the most unfair season I've ever seen in my life. I mean, that's how bad it would be. It would just be bad. Now, I don't give every other team no shot to beat them, but they instantaneously become like 100% odds to win the finals and then 100% odds to win the West. And I give the Spurs the credit in the world, but no team game, no loyal team or wherever you want to put it is going to beat Melo, LeBron, and Kobe. And it could be just them three on the court, and that's how talented those three are. That's a scary thought, and I hope it doesn't happen.
I think what might play out is somehow either Melo, Chicago, LeBron, Houston, or Melo coming down to Miami with LeBron. I could you'll see Wade and Bosch, they have to the 30th. If they decide to opt out, then, they might all take less money and get better players, maybe try to trade and get Napier. LeBron likes Napier, stuff like that. That should be, something to look for. So great call, man. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Monday to review the draft and start talking some more of this free agency. So definitely tune in. I appreciate it.
Sounds good.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
So, we'll get back to the lottery. Obviously a great caller, and, he brings up a great point. I mean, LeBron probably won't go back to Cleveland. And at the same time, you know, it's one of those things where the NBA, I don't think fans like to see these super teams. You like to see balance. You like to see 6 to 10 teams each season potentially being able to, to win it all. So, back to number 9, Charlotte Hornets. Yes, the Hornets. Now, Ray still didn't get his Bobcat jersey that he's got to get, and we're going to get on Ray about that because he didn't think they'd make the playoffs, and they did. But now they're the Hornets, and I think at number 9, they're going to go ahead and snatch up Nick Stauskas. I think they need a shooter, and I think he'll be really good for them. Some people have them taking Rodney Hood. I think they'll take Stauskas because they need to spread the court, and Gerald Henderson is not a pure 2. Ray doesn't really like him. Stauskas proved that he was pretty good this year without Hardaway and Burke. He got busy and was very impressive at Michigan. Number 10, the Sixers, they're back. I think they're going to take Rodney Hood. And I think Rodney Hood can let them, maybe they move Thaddeus Young and he could step in at 6'8 from Duke, play the small forward. And having Embiid and Hood, they'd be able to move forward, Michael Carter-Williams, and they'll just need a 2 guard. And they'll get that later on in this draft. I think the Denver Nuggets, their roster is just a bunch of 2s, 3s, 4s. They got little Nate and Ty Lawson. They got a lot of stuff. But what they need is somebody who plays defense. And I think it's Gary Harris from Michigan State. Izzo, you know how we talk on this show about Izzo if you listen to us. Love Tom Izzo, and his players are amazing. Gary Harris, very solid, and is a two-way player. About 6'4", I think could be play 2 guard in this league. And I think he'll be a good pick for the Denver Nuggets. And number 12, the Orlando Magic. Back-to-back Michigan State Spartans, I think they go with Adrian Payne. Who brings the pain, baby? I think Adrian Payne is, if they could come out with Payne and Exum, I think that's really nice. Payne is, I think he's going to be a little bit better than Andrew Nicholson, who they have, the young four there. They've got Kyle O'Quinn, some guys. Look, you need talent. What Payne has done is improved every year at Michigan State. He can hit the outside shot. He was injured a little bit this year, but he plays offense and defense, and he just goes and gets it. He's a baller. And I think that's exactly what Orlando needs, is somebody that is a baller, shot caller, as Ray would say. But Minnesota, this is interesting. At 13, do you see if you could find a young four or somebody? Obviously, the Dario Saric is going to be with the Turkey team, signed a 3-year deal. Wouldn't get to the NBA until after 2 years, so I don't think they would take him. A lot of people have him going there, projected there, but he's going to drop down because teams are like, eh, you're going to be in Europe for 2 years? That's ridiculous. I think they go with Zach LaVine, who UCLA, great athlete. You know, Ray saw him live this year at Brooklyn, loved him. I think Zach LaVine, 6'4", I think he's got a potential to play a little 1 and 2 combo guard, maybe can help Rubio out. They got Rubio and Kevin Martin. We'll see what happens with this team. I think Minnesota, I tell you, they're going to have to move Love. I think if you wait to the deadline, you're going to get less for him. So you should move him at the draft. Better opportunity. And then to finish out the lottery, I think the Phoenix Suns, I said it earlier, I think they're going to draft Dougie McBuckets, one of the best scorers in college history, Creighton star. I think Doug McDermott is just a beast. And I think, you know, the Phoenix Suns, like I was telling to our caller, Mike, they've got 3 first-round picks. It's not like they're all great, you know, some are a little bit later. But to me, at the end of the day, when you could just add a lot of talent, eventually I think the GM, and then forgot to mention to the caller, you know, they got new GMs there, new guys. They might be ready to hustle and make some moves because you can't just keep getting these young players and then no one is a star. They're all good players. So I think they take McDermott. You know, later on, maybe they get a TJ Warren at 18 for all the Phoenix Suns fans. And then that third pick in the first round is down at 27. That's where I think they might scoop up Jordan Adams. So, or if you get a Klee Anthony early, baby, Sullivan General, stand up, my alma mater, Sullivan County Community College. Forgot to tell the caller, too. I'm a New Yorker, but I'm out here in Arizona at Scottsdale. So, you know, that right there would be kind of fat, though. Phoenix Suns, you know, I got to root for them. I'm a Knicks fan, but I root for the Suns, too. You know, I don't want to watch bad basketball. You know, maybe they or even draft a Tyler Ennis, and then you can move a Bledsoe. And you could have Ennis with Dragic, you know. So I think Ennis could be a nice combo guard. I could see Ennis going to the Rockets. You know, there's a lot of talent. This is what I was trying to tell you about this draft. Now, here's some names. I'm going to get into some sleepers. I mean, obviously, we know about Napier. He's not a sleeper. But his teammate, I think DeAndre Daniels, playing a small forward, I think he'll probably be a second-round pick. But I like Daniels. And I think he'll be good. This kid, Eldred Payton, is getting some hype. Some people think the Bulls could take him in 16 or when they drafted 19. But he's a 6'4 guard from Louisiana Lafayette that is a baller. Just can penetrate, take it to the hole. I like the Jordan Claxton kid. You know, some of these second-round kids, I like the Stokes kid from Tennessee, Jamel Stokes. Johnny O'Brien from LSU, athlete. Joe Harris. Don't forget about UVA, Joe Harris. He can, you know, 6'6", shoot it, 215, good body. We saw him for UVA, #1 seed. I could see the Suns in the second round trying to get him or the Sixers. Joe Harris could have a very solid career. I mean, this is what's fantastic and fascinating about this draft is all of the talent and just how it's all going to play out. I mean, imagine a C.J. Fair, you know, could go in the 50s to Dallas or to, you know, Phoenix or Philly or, you know, Minnesota. C.J. Fair is a pretty good player, a veteran, and, you know, he's got a little – got to work on his jumper, got a little mid-range game, a little Syracuse alum, maybe like a Hakeem Warwick. But he could score, I believe, in the NBA. There's some questions about Jeremy Grant, who's dropping from Syracuse. Harvey's kids, not Horace's kids, right? But I think the Clippers could snatch him up. I like Jeremy Grant. He's just got to get it together. You know, but the Spurs, they've got 3 picks. Obviously, the, you know, end of the first round, everybody's thinking they're going to take the Serbian kid, Bogdan Bosniakovic, whatever. So, you know, and they probably will, and it'll probably be great, and that's what the Spurs do. The most international team we've ever seen, world champs. I'm interested about Napier. Will Napier go to Toronto and replace Kyle Lowry? Will Napier go to Oklahoma City, be their backup point guard, and let, you know, Westbrook and Jackson do some things? Can the Heat get Napier? Maybe the Celtics, the Bulls. Napier is, I think, underrated. You know, I think you can't put a measure – you can't measure the heart of a champion, right? Rudy Tomjanovich would say. But also just his skill level. I think the Rockets might, you know, trying to lure LeBron or Melo, they might, you know, package a Sheik and Lin. So you could see a 20, them getting a Napier or a Tyler Ennis or one of these point guards. So that should be kind of fascinating. Knicks and Nets fans, what do you guys want to do? It's rough if you're a Knicks and a Nets fan because you got no picks, no first round, no second round. You know, Pacers got to wait to the second round. Wizards got to wait to the second round. But Knicks and Nets, you know, maybe you can move a Shumpert. And they were saying Shumpert to OKC for one of their first round picks. They have two first round picks. You know, Shumpert's growth has kind of stunted. I do like his defensive game. I think the Knicks have got to try to do something to try to see if they can keep Anthony. I think it would be really rough to just rebuild. I like what the caller said. Imagine LeBron wants to play with Phil, and he says, you know what, I'll go there for a year. Durant will join me, and I'll play with Durant with Derek Fisher. And that's a possibility that no one's really ever mentioned in the media, not Broussard, not Stephen A., but you get it from Ray and Tay. Tay's got you covered. I could see, you know, to me, why not New York, you know? If LeBron goes and wins in New York and Melo couldn't, wow, the cachet. And I think there's something about playing with Phil. Yeah, he's the general manager, but you don't think training camp and every home game Phil's going to be there, like kind of coaching and this and that. I think great players want to be around great winners, and he was around that in Riley. I just think he's a little upset that they didn't keep Mike Miller, they didn't spend money at the trade deadline. You know, the coach didn't play Odin and Beasley. And the Heat roster, you know, yeah, they could beat everybody else, but they couldn't beat the Spurs. And this Spurs team could come back. They might just lose Patty Mills. Everybody else could come back. You know, maybe they lose one other player, but the Spurs are intact. You know, we'll see what happens with Diao. I believe they'll probably all come back. Maybe not Patty Mills. Patty Mills, not a starting point guard, but he could get more money and be, you know, definitely a backup somewhere. Hey, Patty Mills could probably start for the Knicks. Raymond Felton, I don't know if he's going to be playing or in jail or whatever, but Phil Jackson's like, look for a trade or look for another job, young man. So that's sort of a situation there, you know, with that, with Patty Mills. And you know, the Nets is fascinating because we haven't heard, is Garnett retiring? Is Pierce retiring? You know, what are the Nets really doing with this roster? I don't think anybody knows. You know, I don't know how you would know. The question is, do you try to move those guys or do you think you can get healthy and the Nets could go for it again? You know, that's one of those things where you're not sure. If I'm a Nets fan, I'm like, I don't know. You know, that's a hard one. I think most Net fans would probably say they might as well just go for it because the rebuild is going to be hard with all the salary cap issues. And I would have to agree with that. I think the Pacers are interesting. They don't pick till the second round. But what's fascinating about the Pacers, where does Evan Turner go? They probably don't keep him. Bird already said that they want to keep your boy. Lance will make you dance. Lance will make you dance. Lance Stevenson, who's, you know, Ray's favorite knucklehead, but he's a double-double machine, and he's a baller. Brooklyn, I got a theory. Tay, you know, people know me straight up, you know, money-making Manhattan City kid. But I tell you that's a situation where there is you know, without a doubt, the whole situation is that they've got to improve their roster, you know. So I think when you're looking at the roster and the team, they've got to probably re-sign Lance. Where are you? I'm live on the show. No, you're not on. You just called my house. Yeah. So, I think Ray's calling in. But no, I think they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to do something with Lance, you know. So, but I think they'll keep him. And then, you know, in the draft, they'll probably get, look, the Pacers don't draft until, like, what? Oof, gosh. When do the Pacers go? They go pretty late in the second round. And that's, you know, that's hard for Pacer fans to really try to do something with George Hill. Because I think that's the situation is, can they fix the roster to get past Miami and improve and do, you know, do something? You know, that's what you want to see with the Pacers. And I think, you know, they're just going to get like a type of, you know, point guard that's, you know, not a big star. I think the Pacers would get somebody that would probably, you know, maybe help out with George Hill. Ray, you finally with us, man? Where you at?
Yeah. Oh, had some technical difficulties traveling international. It's tough. It's tough. But I'm
all
here.
Right.
I'm here.
Well, right now I'm just talking about what the Pacers might do at 57. I mean, obviously, some of these teams, you know, they don't have first-round picks. Talked about the Knicks and Nets, the lottery, this and that. Had a great caller. But let me ask you, sleepers. Give me a name or two. Give me a DeAndre Daniels or somebody else. Who do you think in the second round could wind up being an all-star that we're not thinking of the top 8 to 10 guys that could all be all-stars?
Well, it's funny because your boy, now he might be a first-rounder, but your guy, Cleanthony Anthony Early,
oh, yeah,
might surprise people late first round. As far as second-rounders go, you know, there's a lot of European cats. Remember these cats that used to be drafted in the first 15 are now dropping. They've got a couple pretty long and lanky 6'11 type of cats coming over from Europe. They might be interesting. You know, a guy here's a tweener, and a guy that, you know, I look at C.J. Fair, and I say to myself, you know, he was the conference player of the year, the preseason player of the year coming into this year. He's kind of a tweener, but I think he could – he's a lefty. You know my lefties, right? He could. He
yep,
might not be an all-star.
I know how you feel about Fair.
And so, you know, C.J. Fair might be able to do something. You know, he reminds me a lot of the kid from Wake Forest who went to Dallas. He was the ACC Player of the Year, but he tore up his leg.
But James Forrest?
No. Oh God, what's his name? The kid from the one who was on the Mavs.
Oh, Howard.
Josh Howard. That's
Josh Howard, yeah.
Josh Howard.
So that's
so,
the point.
You know, again, ACC Player of the Year. He was drafted in the late. He was drafted, I think, 24-25 by the Mavs. So C.J.
Right.
Fair could come in there and do a little bit. You know, I look at a guy like Hairston from North Carolina. He might drop to the second round, you know, because he's a shooter. He's pure. He can do some
well
things.
He did well in NBA DL League, so.
Yeah. I like him. There are some cats that might make a roster and might do some things. Because think about it. If this draft was 2 years ago, these mid to late second rounders would be late first rounders, you know, but there's so much talent and so many people stayed, like a Marcus Smart could have been one and done, you know, a few other people stayed, and obviously the freshman class is fantastic. So these early, mid, second rounders are really first rounders in any other draft.
Yeah, let me ask you about this, because there's some guys that people aren't mentioning, and I thought of just a couple right off the top, and one of them is a guy that was injured. Our boy, DeAndre Kane, no relation to Big Daddy from Iowa State, 6'4", combo guard, 200 pounds. What do you think about him? And then also the UVA kid who I mentioned earlier on the show, Joe Harris, nice shooter, 6'6", coming off picks. You think they could have a nice impact?
You know, Joe Harris is interesting because he came on midway through the season,
And yeah, he was a stud.
Even though he's a shooter, you know, he kind of reminds you a little bit of, you know who he is? He's kind of a, you know, I look at like a Derek McKee to some degree. He won't be a great scorer in the play. He's not the same body type. Derek McKee's 6'9", but he's 6'6", but he's tough. And he plays defense. So he's not like your normal 6'6 shooter, you know, Adam Morrison type. He's really a well-rounded player. And I think that he'd be a solid, you know, veteran that you could put on a roster because he's really, if you look at the draft, he's really a true two-way player. And there aren't that many players out there that at this stage, at 19, 20, 21, can play both sides of the court, and he can. So he's not exceptional on offense, but he's good. And as for DeAndre Kane, you know, this guy, look at his film, like we say about football. Look at the film. This guy, he and Melvin Egypt, but Kane had some games where he was pretty impressive. Now he's undersized, so he's got that tweener. You know, he's like Clarence Weatherspoon, you know, our classic tweener. But you know, again, I he could make a roster too.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. And another guy we got to mention is the kid from Clemson who did good at the combine, KJ McDaniels, who's a legit 6'6", skinny kid, 195, but he's got some game. I remember him at Clemson, and you know he should be interesting. And then probably early in the second round, we mentioned Harrison, but you know the Sixers have got 7 picks, so they could scoop up a little bit of everybody. But you know who might get a nice little look, and I think if he gets healthy, he could turn his life and career around, is Mitch McGarry out of Michigan. I think Mitch McGarry probably would have been a lottery last year, right? Definitely. And now he might be a second-round pick, but doesn't mean that Mitch McGarry can't come back to being a great basketball player.
No, and what's crazy is that Mitch McGarry had a foot issue, and then there was that whole controversy of testing positive for marijuana in the NCAA tournament. So really this guy is getting probably a bum rap. So to go think about the ups and downs, to go from being a lottery pick who decides to come back to now being a second rounder, you're right. You're getting a kid that 6'9", 6'10", he probably doesn't have a basketball minute under his belt, that you would want him to have a little bit more experience, but he's a great pickup in the second round. I tell you, some GM's going to be real happy with this because a second rounder.
Oh, yeah. So real quick, I kind of laid out for people, I have Parker, Wiggins, and Embiid. What are your thoughts on the Exum, what are your thoughts just on the top four, and what order would you put them in?
Up until a week or two ago, you know, when the Embiid news came out, I thought it was pretty crystal clear that Cleveland was going to take Embiid. Now that Embiid isn't probably going to be going number one. It's interesting that LeBron opted out, right?
I mean,
we talked about that. So LeBron opted out. So Cleveland, I don't know if they get their hopes up for LeBron, but if they think they have a chance to get LeBron, Wiggins is the better fit in my book. If they don't think they have a shot at LeBron, then Parker's the better fit because Parker is the win now, and they also have to convince Kyrie Irving to stay. Now, if LeBron comes, Kyrie will stay. But if he doesn't, I think playing with the NBA-ready Jabari Parker is the way to go. I don't know if they'll get LeBron, and I don't think they get a chance. So they might have to go with the NBA-ready guy, which means that the Bucks would be faced with the same dilemma that everybody for the next 4 picks will be faced with, you know, Embiid or the next guy. And I think the Bucks, I think they're split 50-50. The Bucks would flip a coin between Parker and Wiggins, and I think they'd be happy with Wiggins. You know, they'd be with the G-man, the Greek guy, Giannis. Giannis plus.
Would it shock you if Milwaukee didn't take Wiggins and said, you know what, let's go with Exum?
I don't love Brandon Knight. And I don't think he's a pure point
exactly
guard.
That's why I'm saying that,
But I think that if you put the two of them together in the backcourt, that could be very interesting. They're both long They're both tall. Neither of them is pure, though. So either, you know, you get greatness or you get, you know, terrible. So that's a dangerous pick. I mean, I hear you. It's a dangerous pick. I would probably go with the Wiggins. Unbelievable athlete in Wiggins or the NBA ready Parker.
Okay, so what about Philly?
If the feedback isn't right.
You think Philly will take Embiid because they have two picks? That's what that was my thinking.
I think so. I think that if he's there, you have to take him. The other way to go would be to get a space eater, but Julius Randle's foot isn't right, because I could see Randle and Noel in the front court together, because even though they're both kind of fours, they play different games. So
right.
Noel is really like a skinny, off-the-ball shot blocker on LaMarcus Camby, and Julius Randle is more like a Zach Randolph. But you're right.
Man,
I think because
– right. Go ahead.
No, I agree. I agree with the assessment, though, that if Embiid's there, they have to take him. Especially because –
And then
so
does Orlando match up Oladipo with Exum, or do they go Smart, or what do you think?
I think they go Exum. I think this kid is, from what everybody's saying, he's young, he's athletic, and if you think about it, he's the anti, of what they have now. He's the anti, the kid from Temple.
Jameer Nelson, small
Jameer
point
Nelson,
guard.
Right, exactly. So they had the small, shifty point guard for, you know, 7-8 years. Now they're like, okay, the long, skinny, young tweener that will eventually be what looks like a pretty solid NBA athlete. Think about the athleticism, though, if they put Oladipo and Exum together in the backcourt.
I love it.
Yeah, that's
I
pretty,
love it.
That's pretty
and then
sweet.
You know what's so great about that for Orlando? Orlando and Philly can improve really fast. But then later on, you know, I think Orlando could wind up getting like an Adrian Payne, down at 12, who, like you mentioned about the other guy, you know, he's a great two-way player. These Michigan State players, Gary Harris and Adrian Payne, I think are both going to be solid, pros and just get busy. I got the Lakers taking Randle at 7. I think he'll drop to them. And, it's going to be this draft, the question that, you know, you could throw out there, could it be better than 03, 96, 84? We don't know, but, gosh, I got to say, it has potential. What if McDermott, Gordon, Vonleh, Randle, I mean, what if the top 9 all become high-level all-stars? And then we don't even know what happens with a Rodney Hood, a Zach LaVine, Gary Harris could be Joe Dumars. I mean, who knows? I mean, this draft could be crazy. Don't forget, oh, by the way, Kyle Anderson, who could go 15 to the Hawks, what type of versatility this kid could show. It's a great draft.
You're absolutely right. I don't think – here's the thing. I think this might be a new type of draft where I'm not sure of the star power, right? I'm not sure that in the top 4 picks you have a – LeBron, D. Wade, Chris Bosh, and Carmelo. I guess 4 out of the top 5, and then Darko Milicic in there. So that 03 draft is unbelievable. And in 83 or 84, I guess you had Jordan, Sam Bowie, and Olajuwon, and Barkley, and all these guys. So I don't think we have that. But we may have the deepest for a long time if you add up the cumulative number of all-star games. You know, you might have 10, 12 all-stars coming out of this. I mean, people that make at least one all-star appearance in this draft, 10, 12, 15 maybe. It's possible. I don't know that you'll get the mega, mega stars, but you might get some all-stars. You might get a lot of all-stars.
Yeah, what's fascinating is I want to see the growth, especially two guys that could really change things, is Vonleh and Gordon, because we didn't know Karl Malone was Karl Malone. And Vonleh and Gordon, they're exceptionally, like, long wingspans and athletes. We don't know what they're going to be, you know. And even a Zach LaVine, Dougie McDermott could be a great, you know, pure shooting small forward or a stretch four. I mean, you know, I don't know. Marcus Smart he could be. What if he's Russell Westbrook? Nope, we didn't. Remember that draft? We didn't believe in Russell Westbrook. We had no idea he was this. So that's the reason why I'm just throwing it out there.
We just knew he was an athletic sophomore,
Yeah, you know what I mean? So before we just finish up with a little bit of the World Cup, USA, Germany, and your boy Suarez biting people and all the teams that advanced, let me ask you this. So Duncan opts in, we don't know what's going to happen with Patty Mills. LeBron and Melo, not best case scenario, but just we had a great caller. He was actually calling from Phoenix, and he thought Melo would wind up probably in Chicago or Houston and that LeBron would maybe go to New York. So I thought that was kind of interesting. He thought the potential of Phil, and then I threw in there, which no one has mentioned, not Stephen A. or Chris, but, you know, you get it from Tay. Wait a year later, and Kevin Durant could go play with LeBron with Derek Fisher in New York. Very feasible, very possible. So what are your thoughts of LeBron, Melo, the Kobe factor with the Lakers? What do you think is going to go down? Hello? Oh, I think Ray might have hit a dead. Hit a dead spot.
I lost 82 games.
Yeah, we lost you for a second.
Am I back?
Yeah, you're back.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Right. So I don't love LeBron and Melo together. I may be the only one, but I don't love them together. I think they both play the three, and we saw in this playoff that when LeBron has to play the four, they can do it, but it's too much. It's too much. It's too much on them.
We're losing you too much.
And as far as Kevin Durant and LeBron, that's intriguing. Much more than Melo and LeBron.
Okay. So, do you move potential trades? Does Kevin Love get moved? Do the Heat try to get Napier and move Norris Cole? Do the Knicks try to move Shumpert or try to make any moves to lure Melo back? What do you see draft? How many trades do you see maybe going down draft night? Because I think it's going to be a lot with, you know, six or seven teams in the first round having multiple picks. I think we could see 5 to 8 trades in this NBA draft in the first round at least, if not 10 to 15.
I think because think about it. If 16 teams have multiple picks in the first, that means 16 teams don't have any picks in the first round.
Yeah,
so,
and Knicks don't have any at all. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, so I do believe that Melo will be gone. I don't think they'll wait to the trade deadline. I think they have to move him in the summer. So I think Love will be gone. I think the Knicks, the only piece really is Shumpert or Hardaway. I think they want to keep Hardaway, but Shumpert has to prove that he's healthy. So I think there'll be a lot of little trades as well. So I would say 7, you know, sort of major trades, first-rounder trades, and then maybe another 5 or so trades that are minor trades. I think actually up before the draft and on draft night.
Yeah. I'll tell you this real quick. I think
right
Houston might try to
– obviously, yeah.
Yeah, Houston might try to move Lin and Ashik, draft Ennis, and then try to sign LeBron or Melo at the 3 to have a big 3 with Howard and Harden. So, you know, a lot of stuff. We're running down real quick. Does USA win or tie to advance? Can we beat Germany or tie Germany? What do you think is going to happen?
Where he brought down everybody's expectations. Nice, Germany beats the U.S. 2-1.
Right, and then I guess if depending on what happens with Ghana and Portugal, we could even with a loss, we can still advance. Maybe if they tie or something, which would be kind of interesting. So we'll be back Monday, and that will be our NBA draft review. We'll know more about Bosch and Wade with the free agency, and get you set out totally for the knockout rounds with the World Cup. And then after that, Ray, we'll be back from the Globetrotting, right, Ray?
Yes, back. Better interaction, bipping. Yeah, apologize to all the listeners. I apologize. But we'll get it straight. We're Globetrotting, you know. We're making it happen.
That's all right. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Ray and Tay today, NBA Draft. Could be the best one ever.
Yeah.
Never know. yourself free. Intake today. Peace.
How can we really see with our eyes are blinded to what we really need? They control our minds. How can we really see with our eyes are blinded to what we really need? They control our minds.
Shout out to the people in Nigeria, man, for that tragedy. Everybody, be okay.